Today's report on U.S. jobs was on the surface decent, but buried in there are some concerning signs. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There is news this morning. The U.S. economy created 164,000 more jobs in July, with a lot of new jobs in healthcare and professional and technology positions. But retail was down and manufacturing hiring was weak. The unemployment rate held steady at 3.7%. Now, this caps an unusual week where interest rates went down and the Trump administration launched a new campaign in the trade war with the move to raise import taxes on $300 billion more imports from China. This has been moving markets. Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York, is on the line. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, David.
I would have thought the lower interest rates in midweek and the employment report today would have been the big economic news of the week. That's not how it played out, did it?
No, it's not. The tariff announcement yesterday, it has been an enormous market impact. Markets are still digesting it. We're trying to figure out what it means.
But we did get the employment report this morning, 164,000 more people on payrolls in July, unemployment rate 3.7% holding steady. What do you make of that?
I think the best way to describe it is weak as expected. In fact, you dig a little bit deeper below the surface and what you find is the work week fell. And the trend there, I think, is really alarming. It's a good proxy for output. It's been falling every month since January.
Wages went up, he said brightly, 0.3% in the month and 3.2% year to year.
That is the bright spot. And certainly income growth this year has been solid. But even there, 3.2%, we first got to that level a year ago in August of 2018. This is steady wage growth. It's no longer accelerating wage growth. And as Jay Powell explained during testimony a couple of weeks ago, we'd like to see that accelerate even further.
Christopher Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
Back to the trade war. There are tough moments in most big negotiations, but let's look at the administration's strategy here. Scott Kennedy is director of the Center for Strategic and International Studies Project on Chinese Business and Political Economy. Thank you for joining us.
Happy to talk with you.
Let's step back from the headlines here just slightly. The Trump administration's logic seems to be higher tariffs will inflict more pain, and China will then cry uncle. Works on a playground. Do you think it'll work that way here?
Unfortunately not. I think what we've seen over the past year is that even though the U.S. market is large and attractive and important, the U.S. acting entirely on its own without allies, without a long-term plan, is not getting the Chinese to bend.
So you're not expecting perhaps a new round of trade talks to somehow bear more fruit from Washington's perspective, given this?
I think the Chinese have decided that they can't trust President Trump and that it'd be better to slow walk this to January 2021 and see what waits for them.
Scott Kennedy is director of the Center for Strategic and International Studies Project on Chinese Business and Political Economy. Dr. Kennedy, thank you.
Happy to talk with you.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Members of Congress have started their summer vacations, but many lobbyists will still be hard at it, trying to persuade elected officials to either ratify or, depending on the lobbyist, not ratify the new NAFTA or USMCA. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
TradeWorks for America is a nonprofit founded by Vice President Mike Pence's current chief of staff, Mark Short, and Phil Cox, the former executive director of the Republican Governors Association. The group has deep pockets that Cox says it'll use to get the USMCA pushed through Congress.
We're going to spend more than $8 million in the month of August. Everything from television advertising, broadcast, cable, digital, and we're working with governors for their states.
He's hoping his group can galvanize the public to get in the ears of their representatives and urge them to ratify the agreement. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is lobbying along the same line. John Murphy is head of trade policy there.
We're telling members of Congress, you can't say that you're pro-business and not vote in favor of this agreement.
He says members of the manufacturing and agricultural community stand to gain the most, not least because they'd have more certainty over trade conditions. Dan Eikenson at the Cato Institute agrees that something needs to be in place soon, but he says the USMCA is only marginally different from the current NAFTA agreement.
None of the gains in this agreement justify the contortions that we put our trade partners through and put the domestic polity through.
Democratic members of Congress have argued they want stronger labor standards in the agreement if they're going to sign on. But economist Ray Perryman in Waco, Texas, says it's not only the standards that policymakers are worried about.
The biggest pushback I'm hearing from people is not so much what's in it, but the fear that that things won't be enforced, that the new labor contracts in Mexico won't be enforced, and things of that nature.
This week, a group of 14 House Democrats sent a letter to Speaker Nancy Pelosi urging her to bring a vote by the end of the year on USMCA. But Duncan Wood at the Woodrow Wilson Center's Mexico Institute says he's not confident that's going to happen.
To me, it just doesn't seem to make political sense for the Democrats to accept this deal in its current form. And it makes a lot of sense for them to wait until after the presidential election in 2020.
He says this agreement isn't simply about politics in the United States either. Every country has local constituents, and those in power will usually do what they can to please them.
During the USMCA negotiations, we saw how Mexico and Canada adopted a position which was no deal is better than a bad deal.
Mexico has already agreed to the USMCA, and even if the United States ratified the deal as well, Canada still has to do the same before it becomes a binding agreement. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.